very robust, something that is very, you know, out there in front of you. August, he is August, we say, you know. So we went to Augusta, Georgia, and we visited with the brothers and sisters there at the Islamic Society of Augusta, Georgia. We did ask them, by the way, if they named the town after their society, but it didn't seem like anybody knew. In any case, we had a good program there, and we introduced them to the Islam Tomorrow Dawah program. I don't think they'll ever be the same again. And I think we're ready to go tonight with our subject, which is the subject of the Dawah to Islam, to the Deen of Islam, the Deen of Law, and what it is, what it's about, where we're going with it. And for the next 35 to 45 minutes, this will be our topic, and then we'll open up for some discussion, question and answer. And then, inshallah, we'll wrap it up, and we have some free stuff we want to offer to our attendees. And by the way, this program is being brought to you free, F-R-E-E, free. And that means that you didn't have to pay money to get in. For those that are listening, you didn't have to pay any money to get on. And there are free gifts afterwards, so it's not a bad deal all the way around. And some people wonder how we keep going. You know, if we're funded by some big organization, or if we are, you know, some secret thing, and that's how we get all our operating money. And I'm going to say it's not a secret. It's not a secret at all. We accept donations. That's how it works. But that's a part of... There we go. Making some microphone change, and we're ready to begin now. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah. You're listening to Islam Tomorrow. We're broadcasting live all the way from Columbia, South Carolina. We're here at Masjid al-Muslimin, the masjid for the Muslims. And inshallah, for the next little bit, we're going to be talking about the subject of dawah, what it is, and what's the responsibility, and how to do it, and some steps involved in dawah. And then we're going to open it up for some discussion. With us today, alhamdulillah, we have Musa, who is the volunteer out at Fort Jackson as far as helping the brothers and sisters there learn more about the Islam and help them come to Islam. We were with him this morning in Alhamdulillah. We saw some folks making Shahada. That was nice. And now we want to talk about how that comes about and where are we with that today. Also with us is Muhammad Sayyid Ali, the Imam of the Masjid here. And in addition to that, we have somewhere and running around or hiding in this building is Mutahir Sabri, another da'i for Islam, and the Imam Sijun. He's the Imam for the prisons in the South Carolina Department of Corrections. So between all of us together, we hope that Allah will bless us and help us get some answers on what's dawah, what's our obligation to it, how to do it, and where we are with it today. Inshallah. First of all, let's begin with the word, and if those of you who know me know that I always like to take the words and break them into pieces and make it so that it makes it easy for us to assimilate and understand. The word dawah is an Arabic word. It's not English, although a lot of the Muslims begin to treat it as though it was an English word. And that's a problem for those who don't know what we're talking about, so we need to break it down and find out what it is. Dawah, in this case, it means to invite or call, as you would call people to come on over and eat with you, or invite them to go out with you, or to travel with you, or to do something, to invite. It's very famous to invite people to come to a wedding, or to come to a party for a new baby, or something like that, and this would be dawah. And one who calls is a du'a, one who is calling to this thing. So, or a da'i, someone who is calling to this in the plural for the ones who invite or call to this thing. Okay. What are we talking about calling to? And what are we inviting people to? And now it's time, by the way, I need interaction. Those of you who are online, it won't do any good to type anything on the screen for my benefit because I can't see the screen in the room where I'm at. Although we are using the computer to broadcast it, it's in another room. So I'm going to have to trust the brothers and sisters that are here in the room with me to help give the answers to some of these questions. Okay? And so the first thing I'm going to ask the question is, do we know what it is that we're inviting people to? Who will answer that question? What are we inviting them to? He says we're inviting them to the way of Islam. Well, you sure got shy. You're the quietest thing. All the way from Atlanta, you're like a big drum making all this noise. Now you get up here, I can't even hear you. MashaAllah, that's Muttar whispering in the background, by the way. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. By the way, he was folding my seat up on me when I was coming back to. He did that to me. No. The headrest. Yeah, that's true. That's all right, I got you with the wind, didn't I? Mikhail was there, he knows. He's a witness. Alhamdulillah. Mikhail is with us. He's from the asphalt jungle of New York. Alhamdulillah. What do we invite these people to, Mikhail? Oh, wait a minute. Hold on. You said we're inviting people to Islam. He said we're inviting them to Allah. Now, which is it? What are we inviting this? Who, ladies, who are we, what are we inviting people to? I give away, didn't I? I lost in the question. Darn it. I'm caught. Yeah, that's right. He is right. We are not inviting people to Islam. We are inviting them to Allah. This is a technicality. We're inviting them to Allah. And then once they come to Allah, it's Allah who will put them in Islam or not, because you cannot guide people to Islam. Hey, we have a new Dawah chairman. Yes, Mahir, congratulations. Wait a minute. First of all, we are very democratic. All in favor, say Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. All in favor, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. And so you pretty much carried it. All right. Mahir, go ahead, take the microphone and away you go. He's going, I've been suckered again. This is how you get volunteers, you know. Everybody who wants to volunteer, take one step forward. And then, of course, the rest of us, we step one step back. And there's Mikhail standing up there going, hey, what's that? Alhamdulillah. By the way, for those who think that calling people to Islam is something very solemn and very sad, they're wrong. Because I want to be happy to call the people to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm happy to be a Muslim, and I hope they'll be happy to be Muslims too. So let's talk about it for a minute. What exactly, when we say we're calling to Allah, what are we talking about? And why did I say, let's don't say we're calling into Islam? Because very frequently I say that myself, we're calling people to Islam. But first you have to understand that it is Allah, ultimately, that's the goal of everything. This solves a lot of questions before they ever get in front of you. Because if you started out saying we're talking about Allah, Allah is the object of the affection, and Allah is the center of everything that we want to talk about today, and it's Allah that we're calling the people to, our goal is to go to Allah. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allah said, from Allah you came, into Allah is the return. So when we understand that, then when people come to you and try to say, well, why do you guys, all you want to do is kill a bunch of people so you can get 70 naked virgins running around in heaven. And you go, whoops, excuse me? Excuse me? What are you talking about? I told you from the beginning my goal was to be with Allah, to see Allah. This is my goal. Where'd you get this from? Where'd you get that from? Off the internet? Because that's where you get that kind of stuff. And people will take half-truths, corrupted meanings, and turn it around and make things look wrong. In fact, the goal of the Muslim is to be with Allah. We want to get to see Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ talked about that. And his companions even asked him, they said, well, would we be able to see Allah? Will we have any trouble seeing Allah? He said, do you have any trouble seeing the moon on a bright night? And he said, no. You know, clear night, there's the moon. do you have any trouble seeing the sun on a clear day? He said, no. He said, in this way, you'll have no trouble seeing Allah. Whoa, all right, that's pretty exciting. To stop and think for just a second that the one who created the universe, the one that gave life in the first place, the one that sustains us every day, the one who gave us our intelligence, the ability to choose between the right and the wrong, and you're going to get to be with him, you're going to get to see him, that's something to call to, isn't it? I'm excited. How about you? This is amazing. Allahu Akbar. Why do we say Allahu Akbar? Allah is the greatest. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah. Now, why I didn't say call to Islam? Well, Islam is actually a verb. That's like calling to run. Do you call people to run? You can, but it sounds strange, you know? You might say, let's call them to a marathon, let's call them to a trophy, let's call them to a race, but call them to run. It doesn't sound as complete because you didn't give them the object of what they're running for or running to. So that's why I wanted to say it that way. I'm not giving a new meaning. By the way, we still say we call to Islam because Islam is the what? We've said it before, it's the surrender, submission, obedience, sincerity, and peace combined that we have in our relationship between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, let's look at this. We understand now that we are calling people to do Islam for Allah, submit to Allah, surrender to Allah, be in peace with Allah, right? Okay, so, but now let's find out, is this something that Muslims have to do? Is this for Muslims to do this? And how do we know? Allah said in the Quran, "Kuntum khayran ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas ta'muruna bil-ma'ruf wa tanhauna 'anil munkar wa tu'minuna billah." How many of you know Arabic? You know what I just said? We got some Arabs in here. Don't hide it. You know what I said? The meaning of it to the English might be, "You're the best of people." Because you do what? You call to al-maruf and you forbid al-munkar. What tu'minuna billah? From the word iman. You have iman or faith, belief in Allah. I want to call your attention to something. Imam an-Nawawi, a famous scholar of Islam many, many, many centuries ago, wrote a book with a collection of sayings of Muhammad in it. He called it Al-Arba'in, that means 40, 40 hadith. He wrote another larger collection with sayings of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in it called Riyad al-Salihin. That's right behind me, right here, if you see those two volumes. Now, in each case, he followed a much earlier imam or scholar of Islam, which was Imam Bukhari. In one thing, and that's that he started out these books with the same hadith as Imam Bukhari started with. And in all cases, the first teaching is in the Ma'amal of Biniyat. This is from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the authority of Omar radiallahu anhu. And it's saying that all actions will be judged according to their intentions. So you don't have the action really recorded for you with the law unless you have the intention for it. Let's imagine just for a minute that a person said, you know, I'm on my way to go pray. Oh my gosh, you know what? It's Friday and I should have a bath on Friday. I don't even have wudu. What can I do? What can I do? And on the way, he slipped and fell in the swimming pool. And so he had to swim to the other side. He got out of the pool and he kept on walking. He said, where will I find time to get a bath? Oh, wait a minute. I fell in the swimming pool. I got all wet. So that's it. I have wudu. I have ghusl. I have everything I need to go. I can just go pray. Is that true or false? Oh. Is he okay? Does he have it or not? No, why? Niyya, yes. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, mufta, the key to the salah, is the wudu. But the mufta to the wudu is the niyyah. In other words, to have the ablution, you have to have the niyyah for it. Otherwise, you just got wet, that's all. You just fall in the swimming pool. Good thing you could swim. But you don't have anything more than that because you didn't have the niyya for it. So that's very important because this verse that I just quoted to you has an amazing statement in there. Amazing. It's telling that you have to do two actions. It says in there, you call to Al-Ma'ruf and you forbid Al-Munkar and you believe in Allah. In every other case in the Quran, from Surah Baqarah all the way back to Surah Al-Asr, you find a statement which says that the people, Amanu wa Aminu Salihah. The people have the right belief and they right do the right actions. But they have the Iman first and then the Amal Salihah or the righteous deed second. Second. Why? Because how in the world can you have any deeds accepted if you don't believe in Allah? The belief in Allah is always before any deed, except in this verse. Go look. Look in the Quran. You have two things here coming before this belief in Allah. Why? How can it be you can do some deeds here and then talk about believing in Allah? So we asked the scholars, how come this is like this? They said, do you see the word Al-Ma'ruf? We said, yeah, I guess it means call the people to good. He said, no, that. And do you see the word Munkar? We said, yeah, it means bad, right? He said, that. No. It doesn't mean that. Not in this case. Go and look at the Tafsir, or that's the plural of Tafsir. I'm real proud of myself every time I learn a new word, by the way. So, you go and look and you find what it does it say. That this means, in this case, Al-Ma'ruf is the calling to the ultimate good of all. What is the ultimate good of all? La ilaha illallah. And it says the Munkar here is the ultimate evil of all. What's the ultimate evil of all? Anything that takes people away from La ilaha illallah. Make sense? Because now you can see why the subjugation of the belief in Allah. You follow me? Because as the scholar told us, how can you say that you believe in Allah, but you're not willing to call the people to it, and you're not forbidden what takes the people away from it? And by the way, the scholars also ruled and explained to us, this is why we have something called jihad, even if it costs you your life, because human life is so precious in Islam. There is nothing more sacred than the life except this, except the things that will take people away from the belief, the correct belief. So alhamdulillah, this helps us to understand how important is the call to Islam. Because that, and now stop and think, here it's saying, you're the best of people raised up because you call them to Allah. And it doesn't say that here, but I'm giving the meaning that we understand. You're calling them to the ultimate good. And you're forbidding anything that takes people away from Allah. And you believe in Allah. Now, does it make sense? Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And I hope that Allah not misguide us, and I pray that He'll guide us to have good understanding of the verses of His book, because when we have some disease of the heart, and we try to give meaning to His book, it can be very misguiding, as He mentioned in Surah Al-Imran, in, I guess it's in verse 7, chapter 3, verse 7, when he talks about he's the one who sent down the Quran, and in it are the verses that are clear and explain our religion to us, but there are also verses in it that are allegorical, and those who have a disease in their heart try to give meanings to it, when in fact nobody knows the meanings except Allah. So we ask Allah not to let us go astray in that point. Now, is there anything else in the Quran, by the way, telling us that we have to call the people to Allah? As a matter of fact, who said yes? Who said that? The new chairman, the new Dawah chairman. Yes, Mr. Chairman. What might be? You weren't scared. Only the new Dawah chairman putting work. They did say you have to finish all the food at the top of me, right? That's the problem. That's good. And transportation, right? No problem. That's cool. Right. Good to go. So where are the other places from? What is it? Now, and throw what? Throw what? Give me the flip. B. Knuckle. Is it? How you think? It's so interesting for you to go ahead. Okay, look, chapter 16. What's the verse number? I don't know what that's doing. But I did just read it yesterday. So it does say what he said. For those who can't hear me, what he said was that the verse says, call to the way of the Lord. And people teaching or whatever. Okay, is there any place else in the Quran where Allah speaks about calling to Allah? What did he say? This is my way, I call to the way of my Lord. He said, call to the way of my Lord with clear evidence. And those who follow this way also. Where is it? He said, don't ask me, brother. What about, no, you're never going to ask me that. Yes, brother, what do you remember? Something? Anybody? What about? You have something? No, don't go there yet. Don't go there yet. That's the easy one. I'm going there. Say that one for me. Anyhow, no, but you're right. We have also the saying in the Quran when Allah says, who is better in speech than the one who calls to their Lord, right? So this is the way to show what the best speech is, for sure. And now let's read from Surah Al-As. And Allah said, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Allah says here an amazing statement. He says that he swears by the passage of time that all of the human beings are in a state of bankruptcy on the day of judgment. It means they're going to hell, except for those who come to the right belief. And then they do the deeds of righteousness and they exhort each other to the truth, or haq of la ilaha illallah. That's the meaning here, according to the tafsir explanation. And they exhort, encourage each other to be steadfast in perseverance and patience. So this word sabr is a very big, big word in English. It needs to be translated correctly. And by the way, that's another one of the words we need to work on when we notify the folks how to retranslate the Quran next time. So, if we understand this, this meaning that only people that are not going to go to hell are the ones that come to the right belief. And then they have to do some good deeds. It's not going to be enough to just say, I believe. They're going to have to go to work. Is there proof for that statement? By the way, some people might say in Dawah, all we got to do is get them to say, la ilaha illallah, and that's enough. But is that true? Is that all there is? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us in a good hadith, it's in Sahih Muslim, if anybody said la ilaha illallah, the fire is haram to them. Another says that they'll go to Jannah. Does it? They got Jannah. Yes or no? Okay. So all they do is have to say it, right? And then everything's good to go, right? Is there proof in the Quran? One of the things I love about Islam is there's always proof. There's always proof. If you don't have any proof, then we don't have to listen to you anymore. One min hasan al-kawm, kawlan. He's talking about the surah. Surah Ankabut. Right. I have a very intelligent, intellectual crowd here with me today, and they know so much, mashallah. If you just remind them a little bit. Surah Ankabut, that means the spider, by the way. And in chapter 29, verse 2, it's mentioning, do they think they're going to be left alone on saying, we believe? And that they won't be tested? For sure, as Allah tested those before, He's going to test these folks to show who are the truthful and who are the liars. So it's not going to be enough to say it, because you're going to get tested. Which means what? There's going to be some action. So get ready for some amal, and hopefully amal salihat, righteous deeds. So that's where we are. And now that's what we understand. Not only we have to call the people, but in fact, if anybody doesn't come over to Allah with this belief, they're going to hell. Now, wait a minute, Yusuf, that's pretty strong. You're going to tell me this because of God? Now, what about, you know, we got a nice Hindu fellow over here. I mean, he's nice. This guy here, he gives charity. He's kind. He's so polite. I never saw anybody. Well, he's more polite than some of the Muslims that we know. And you know what? He won't even eat any meat because he loves animals so much. You know what? Why are you saying this guy can't go to paradise? And pray? Man, this guy got his head locked onto them statues 24/7. He's praying away all the time. How come you say this man can't go to paradise? Come on, you son. What do you have with that? He never drank. He never smoked. He never chased after the girls that did. He's always a good guy, right? And here, you're telling me, this man going to go to hell? No, I'm not saying it. Allah said it. Because look what Allah said in the Quran. And by the way, is there proof for this? That Allah won't accept anything except Islam? Where's proof? In the deen, in the law, in Islam. Where is that in the Quran? Chapter 3, very good. And the first number is 19. Surah Al-Imran, verse 19. And I said that he says the only way, Deen, that he's going to accept is Islam. But what's Islam? It means surrender, submission, obedience, and sincerity, and peace to God. And if a person's not willing to do that, then they're on their own. They're making up their own religion. Is there anything else in the Quran talking like this? وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا. If anybody wants a religion other than Islam, Allah will never accept it from him. وَمِنَا. Yeah, and in the next life they will be amongst the losers. Losers. Khasarin, khusr. Remember the word khusr? Wal asr, imam and sanalafi, khusr. Losers. Khasarin, losers. Those people going to hell, I would be left stuck with a lot. I don't want to go. So, now we're determining that it's a responsibility to call to Islam, and then, after all, there isn't anything else that Allah is going to accept. So how do we do it? And we already heard that you have to do it with a good way, preaching. which Musa mentioned. I was going to come to that at this part, but it's all right, he already got it in there, and it's good. That we understand that we have to do it in a way that's better. We have to do it in a way that's kind and righteous and not just showing off for the people, which we can do, by the way, real easy with Islam. But it will not get us anywhere. Because we have the Quran, which has so many miracles. We have the proofs, we have the science to back up what we say, the events of prophecies that have already happened, that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam predicted, and these things have come about. And we can just point to those things and say, there, what do you think of that? And will that help the people? So how are we going to guide these people to Islam? Who will tell? Huh? Hey, all right. Somebody's paying attention to the questions here. He's right. He said you can't. That's right. In Islam, you cannot guide anybody. Allah said that. What did he say? You do not guide whom you love, but rather Allah guides whom he wills. Is that right? All right. Why? I mean, how come, hold on. Why can't I just go up to somebody and, you know, like play with their mind a little bit, you know, and kind of like coerce them a little bit, you know, kind of like the Christians do when they go into Muslim countries. They got an operation sitting right here in this Columbia, South Carolina, by the way, that does exactly that. It used to be called, what, South Carolina Bible College, something like that? Huh? Columbia Bible College? But they decided where they were getting knocked off, where they went. Where'd you graduate from? Columbia Bible College. Oh, whoa, 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 what is that? So they changed the name to what? Columbia International University. That's so when they go into other countries with their credentials and say that they'd like to be teachers, they don't get knocked off for what they really are doing, proselytization, trying to convert people to Christianity at any expense. And they don't mind lying, they don't mind forging, and they don't mind playing tricks, or whatever it takes to make it work. Is that right or wrong? If you doubt what I said, read last year's copy of January issue of Mother Earth magazine. The whole, huh? Mother Jones, not Mother Earth. That's from another generation. Mother Jones, I forgot about that. That's how many years ago? Mother Jones magazine. That's funny, Mother Jones. Mother Jones. They did an expose on Mr. Rick Love over here and talked about all his little ways. Well, the thing that got me was his opening statement. They said when he opened up the class, he said to the class, he said, did Jesus ever tell a lie? And they said, no. He said, yeah, but did he ever say you got to tell the whole truth, nothing but truth, so help you God? They said, no. He said, so see, it's okay for us to do what we did. Oh, man, get out of here. What kind of religion you got that you can pull that kind of trick on somebody? I don't know. I don't know. But that's not what we want. So we cannot do that. Is there proof for what I said in the Quran? Cannot do that. Proof? You cannot coerce people into Islam. And where is that? Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 256. La ikraha fi din, qad tabayyana rushdul min al-ghay. Fama yabghi bi wa yumin billahi, faqad istamsaka bil urwati wuthqa min jismiha, wallahu sami'un alim. And it says that there is no compulsion in religion. And the truth stands out clear from error, and whoever is worshiping Allah alone without any partners has grasped a firm handhold that'll never break. And what about those that worship the false gods, false deities, tagut? Well, basically, that's their problem. That's what's going to mess them up. And Allah is Semi'un Alim, the hearer. He hears everything and knows everything. Okay, now, I want to think about this for a minute. It says, like, wrongfully. No compulsion. Most of the time they say no compulsion in religion. That's usually how they say it. So what does that mean? I can come in Islam. I don't want to grow a beard. I don't have to pray. I don't want to do Hajj. Lady, I don't have to wear no hijab, right? Like, wrongfully. Oh, if they do nothing. Right? Wrong. Wrong? What do you mean wrong? Because there's conditions. Allah means by this statement, and Allah wa'alam, Allah knows best. But He means by this statement that He Himself is not forcing anybody to go to Islam. He's not forcing them to believe in Him. That's the purpose, by the way, for this whole creation. Because if we were not in this creation, if we were just in front of Allah, we'd have no choice but to believe in Him. Because He'd be right there in front of you. But in this creation, we're right in between two amazing things. We're between the macro and the micro. What's the macro? Look to the universe and see what you see. Look at the stars. Look at the moon. Look at the sun. Look. Don't look at the sun too long. You go blind. Okay? But anyway, look. Look out there. And what do you see? You see round balls, right? These are round spheres. And they're in orbits. And they're turning. And they're going around other spheres. And this is the makeup of the whole universe. Swimming. Swimming. Allah said all of that in the Quran. 1400 years ago, before the people even knew the earth was round. What's the micro? No, the micro is something you see under the microscope. The microscope. And when you look under the microscope and you look and you see molecules, they're what? Round spheres. Huh? Yes, yeah, that's the point. Yes, I understand. Unseen. He said unseen. You know? We know he's out there, Mom. Just thank you very much for that. You want to get free? I'll give you a new location in the sunken, right? You feel better now? Okay, now we got this out of the way. Who said you can't have any fun in New Dawa? Anyhow. You want me to tell you more your new location is? You got good food over there. So, by the way, this is being seen, or the too small to be seen without a microscope, is an amazing thing, because they tell us that the atom, you know, the smallest, tiniest